There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hey, good evening out there. Good morning, Vietnam. And that what Robin Williams said to Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, sitting in again tonight for my buddy Rob Pugh here at WisconsinChristianNews.tv. I think I got whatever it is. You guys are here. Appreciate you being here. And got a great guest tonight, although I understand he was on maybe a couple weeks ago with Rob. I go way back with Mark Harrington of Created Equal, End Abortion Now, what's really going on with abortion. And I just thought, man, Mark, it'd be good to let you get back on here, and you and I have a little bit of a discussion. Folks, look, I spent the weekend in Washington, D.C. I didn't go to the event where, you know, the preachers and all that. So I didn't go to that. I went for another rally that we were having, or another conference we were having. And just to be in Washington, D.C. is itself pretty intimidating. And come to the realization of, as I always have, that if we think that we're going to receive the blessings of God in America and we're going to continue to murder unborn children, we are seriously stupid or deceived, or pick whatever word it is, seriously, seriously deceived. And I was struck as we were there in Washington, D.C., and you drove by the, you know, the Washington's Monument and the Capitol building and the Supreme Court building and all those majestic buildings, to understand how in the world we could possibly live in a country of a Christian nation, a once Christian nation, where the churches, for the most part, won't defend the right of the preborn. How do we get to this point? One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. How do we get to the point where the First Amendment of the Constitution says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or as the Declaration of Independence says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Three uncompromisable ones: life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. No life, no liberty. No life, no pursuit of happiness. And how we can be here since 1973. As you're out there, friends, just stop and think about 1973, where we were medically, what we knew about medicine back in 1973, when five terrorists in black robes passed Roe v. Wade, granting a woman the right to reproductive freedom. I don't know where you live, but where I live out here in the cornfields of Central Ohio, death is not reproductive freedom, right? In abortion, so some woman can stay free, somebody's got to die. And it's been going on for how long? I did a Google just before we went on the air here today. 68, 70 million people aborted by babies. Or I'm sorry, aborted babies. And so I just think that in the time in which we live, when President Trump called everybody back into Washington, D.C., and by the way, Mark Harrington, maybe you would argue with me, probably not, though, most pro-life president in my lifetime, Donald John Trump, certainly the most pro-life, doing everything he can to open up for the church to come in. That's the way I see it. Opens the door for the church to come running in. But the church is, you know, we've been told in pastors, they think it's holy and righteous to say, oh, you don't mix religion and politics here, as if that's some kind of honor, right? Religion is politics. Politics is religion. Lawmakers, their evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. And they're murdering babies by the thousands every day and hardly a peep from the pulpit. The pulpits are responsible for it. I got to shut up because you didn't tune in to hear me. And I appreciate all of you out there. And we'll open it up here in a second and let you have an opportunity to come in here and ask a question or make a comment. But I want everybody to know out there that I owe my ministry, Past the Salt Ministries, to Mark Harrington. So what do you mean by that, Coach? Well, when I was a football coach, got sued by the ACLU and walked away from teaching and coaching. And what the heck am I going to do? Didn't know what to do. I was doing a little donkey radios program in Columbus, Ohio that time on WRFD, and I ran into Mark. And Mark said, hey, we're going to go to Ohio State University, and we're going to hold some abortion signs. Why don't you come? I said, yeah, sure, that sounds like a lot of fun. And I said, Mark, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm going to get there. I don't even know what to do. He says, listen, you just stand there, Coach, and you just hold the sign, and when they start talking to you, you'll know what to do. I never forgot it. And Mark Harrington created a monster in me, unashamed of the gospel of the kingdom of God, not afraid to stand up and speak up, not afraid to defend the preborn, not afraid of any of that. And just an honor to be able to have Mark come on here with us tonight because of the yeoman-like work that Mark does at Created Equal. Now, friends, you have to understand this. Many Christians, churches, religious organizations don't support Created Equal. They don't support Mark Harrington. Why? Because he shows the dirty deeds of abortion. And I'll never forget again when Mark took me to the street and they showed those gruesome abortion pictures, which we're going to see some of them probably here tonight. Mark said something that was so profound. He says, Coach, don't you think the victims ought to be represented? Dude, what? Yeah, it's the baby that's getting aborted. Don't you think he ought to be represented somewhere in this discussion instead of making it about a woman, a woman's choice, and all that kind of stuff? So I'll shut up here for a minute. And Mark, I appreciate you. First of all, I thank you for all you've done to spur my ministry here at Coach Dave Live and the impact that we're having. It all started because I stood by you at Ohio State University and you said, just hold the sign. Don't worry about it. The Lord will tell you what to do. How long have you been doing this, Mark?
I don't know. 30 years.
What called you into it?
Full time for 1998, I think. So that's close to 30. I started doing it.
Not 98, 78. Is that what you're saying, 1978?
No, 98 would be 30, almost 30 years. That's 28.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, so I started in 70, I don't know, I'm sorry, in 1993, not to go, you know, into detail too much, but I got saved at 28. I was late in that and lived on the dark side of things and married my wife, met her at church. That's a good place to meet your wife, by the way.
That's right.
she showed me an aborted baby photo. And that started it all. It was that who got me started. I figured, you know, this is the greatest injustice that mankind has ever faced. And who's going to stand for them unless they are Christians? And so because I was a radical for all the wrong things when I was unsaved, I figured, well, I want to be a radical for Jesus. So that's what we did. And we started our ministry and eventually went to full time about 30 years ago. So it's been quite the ride, Coach. I wouldn't replace it with anything. I love everything we do. Every day I wake up, I'm still as excited and ready to go as I was 30 years ago.
So Mark, if you can, make the pro-life argument for us here. Because, you know, in today's churches, with evangelifish pastors and evangelifish people sitting in the pew, and really abortion not even being discussed in the church anymore, make the argument for us, Mark. Mark, maybe not even from a biblical perspective, but from a historical, from a legal, from an American liberty standard. Can you make that argument for us, Mark, why abortion should ever be permitted?
Well, it's like when students come up on campus and they ask me, what's the case for life? It's very simple. I use a syllogism. You know what a syllogism is?
Yep.
A syllogism is a three-part logical argument. It goes like this. It's always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. That's number one. And of course, everybody's going to go, yeah, that's true. Abortion kills an innocent human being. Therefore, abortion is wrong. It's as simple as that. Now, you have to prove that the unborn are human, and that's where the rub comes, if you will, with these groups. But that is the argument. That's it. Simple, direct, real easy to explain to people. If they believe in logic, which, of course, many don't, but that is the logical argument against it.
Mark, at the heart of all legality, Paul just put something in the chat I noticed. At the heart of all legality is morality, is it not, Mark? Can we make something immoral legal? Can an immoral act ever be legal? What's your response to that, Mark?
No, it's the law of God that governs us, not the laws of men, although they're supposed to line up, right? They don't, yeah. Unfortunately, in this country. Coach, you're talking about D.C. I found it interesting. I didn't watch what was happening on the mall with this rededication 250. But I asked on my Facebook page, did anyone step to the podium and say what needed to be said? And that is, we cannot rededicate America unless we repent for the shedding of innocent blood.
Amen.
Period. And if those speakers get up there and talk about everything else, believe me, God isn't listening. He isn't listening. Our hands are covered with blood. Our prayers are not being heard. They're not being answered. We can pray all we want, but if we don't repent for the shedding of blood, none of this matters. So, you know, Coach, we've been talking about this for 20 years, is how the pulpits are the problem, and they're silent still, even to this day, on this Holocaust. And until that changes, we're going to see the unabated shedding of blood for, you know, time and eternity. Who knows? But we're fighting as best we can, and so are you. So we appreciate that.
So, Mark, on our screen right now, we see a bunch of people standing there. Mark, I'm sorry, Spencer. Look, a bunch of young people there. Most people don't know this, Mark. How do you build your team? And talk a little bit about your justice rides and all that kind of stuff, and why it's young people and how you go after the young people.
Yeah, so about, 15 years ago, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary of Created Equal. And I'm unlike other people. I don't have a gala. I'm not about to celebrate 15 years. I want to go do something else. I'd rather end abortion and go do some other ministry. However, 15 years, you know, hey, we're still around. We're still kicking. And in 15 years, the reason I started Create Equal is because we weren't reaching the next generation of leaders. The pro-life movement is aging. They're dying off. I just got an email today from a guy I've known for 30 years. He passed away. And we're just not raising up that next generation of leaders. We got to be doing that. So I started out to do that with Created Equal. And the first thing was to get some young people to go out and do what we do on college campuses. And when we started doing that, that's what young people want to fight. David, you know this. They want to battle. They don't want, it's fine to go to church and, you know, teach Bible studies or, you know, take care of the kids and all this good stuff. They want to fight. They want something they can believe in. They can go out and make a difference in the culture. And so we provide that with our justice ride. And our justice ride is basically loosely patterned after the freedom rides of the 1960s, in which African-Americans and others boarded buses in the South, defied the segregation rules, and went on the road. And that changed history. Because what happened during those justice rides, right? The synergy that was created between people when they're in the foxhole and they're in the battle, it just makes the biggest difference. And so we started doing that, although what we're doing is nothing close to a freedom ride. We charter buses, we take them on the road, we train them, we put them in front of people that disagree with them. And that's how we train them up. And so far, so good. I mean, we've been able to grow the ministry. We have 21 interns coming this summer. We're going to spend 8 weeks this summer with us. in intense training. This is like a boot camp. It really is. We ask a lot of them, and we work them hard, and they're going to be out hitting the pavement. They're going to be on campuses. They're going to be on in the public square downtown. They're going to go door to door. They're going to go in the overpasses to the abortion centers and some classroom. But the classroom is only to get them out in front of other people. So that's been our the Justice Ride has been our most successful thing to recruit people. And of course, our internship. And so, you know, we got to do that. Otherwise, this battle's going to die with you and me.
And Mark, folks, as you can see on the screen, all those young people, they all raise their own support to do this, don't they, Mark? You don't pay them. But they go out and they solicit from grandma and grandpa and people at their church and their neighbors support to be able to do it. How long, Mark, if you call it an internship, how long does that period of time last for these young kids that are, some of them 17, 16, 15, you take them on the street? How long does this internship last? And then what happens after the internship's over?
Yeah, so out of the Justice Ride, we get our interns. Our interns come to us for 8 straight weeks. We rent, we rent homes for them to stay in. So they're guys and girls are separate, of course, and they're the entire summer they're together. And then we, you know, do all the things we're doing. By the way, we're going to America 250. We're going. We're taking 60 people down there for that. By the way, you want to join us? Come. 60. Young people to Washington, D.C. for the American 250. We're there to celebrate America's 250, but we're not there to just do that. We're there to reach those who are going. And our kids are coming with us to do that, 60 young people, including our 21 interns. But after 8 weeks, then they decide if they want to do a gap year, which is a 9-month, basically 9 months or 2 semesters where they spend with us, where they actually work for us, and they raise support for that. And then at the end of that, they decide whether they want to do this full time. And so that's kind of the pipeline, if you will, that we raise these kids up to work for us and do this for a lifetime.
So Mark, as a guy who's been with you several times on the campuses, first time I went, man, my knees were knocking when I was holding that sign. And,
yep.
What an experience really that was. But Mark, really the arguments for abortion are really pretty shallow, aren't they? When it gets right down to it, it's what, that woman's right to choose? Who are you to say what I can do with my own body? How do you counter that kind of stuff, Mark?
Well, first of all, we have the visual evidence with us, pictures of prenatal development and abortion. And you really can't talk about abortion without showing it. I don't get these groups and individuals out there that think they're smart enough or they've got the best arguments alone to persuade people. It's just not enough. You got to have the pictures to do it. And that proves the foundation. That is that the baby's a baby at conception and abortion's an act of violence that kills the baby. Once you set that as your starting point, then we can have a discussion. Otherwise, it's just basically your opinion against mine. Who can argue better? Obviously, we have the best arguments. There's no doubt. But you combine the arguments with the visuals, and it's a powerful combination. There's nothing like it.
So, Marcus, it's a lot like I know a lot of people make the accusation or compare it to the Civil Rights Act, civil rights of African Americans being set free. And you use a lot of those same techniques, don't you? That's what, first of all, why you call it created equal, but you make the argument that for the other side to justify what it is. Could you explain a little bit Mark, if you were going to teach me right now, you're going to take me to the street. Give me 2.5 minutes of what you would teach me to say to these kids on college campuses, folks.
I already gave you the syllogism. I always give that up front. That's what I do. And then go from there. But you're going to hear the typical arguments. The first is that abortion's health care. Real simple. Health care heals. Abortion kills. That's the difference. And if you point to the picture, you say abortion's not health care. Now they'll say, well, that's not a baby. Okay, now we need to talk about that. And so they'll also ask, well, what is it then? I mean, it's not a dog or a cat or a horse. It's Homo sapien, that's the species. And they'll agree, generally speaking. They'll say, okay, but it's not a person yet. That comes afterwards. So it's human, but not a person. And I'm thinking to myself, well, they're one of the same, right? I mean, they need to be. Of course, the only person that wasn't human was Jesus. I mean, he's part of the Trinity, the three parts of the Godhead. But as far as human beings, when you're a human, you're a person. What they really mean is they don't have the traits that you and I have. And generally, they land on the one that is their most convenient, and that is they'll say that they don't possess what's called sentience or awareness or consciousness yet. And I'm not going to deny that. I'll say, well, of course that's true, but that's simply just a function of their age. That's it. And so if you make that the reason why you would discriminate against them, then you're an ageist. You're a bigot. More or less, you're a bigot. You're discriminating against somebody based on something they have no control over, and simply because they're younger. That's it. And so, and then I'll say, well, what makes that consciousness, if you will, or sentience so important? Why does that matter to you? What brings value? What's value giving by sentience? Or you could point to heartbeat or viability or feeling pain. What is value giving about that particular trait? And they won't be able to answer it. They'll just say, well, it's because it just is. We as a culture or humans believe that this is important, therefore we value it. It's completely arbitrary. The only thing that we can point to is conception or fertilization. That's when we are human. That's when we're separate from our mothers with our own DNA, separate heart, you know, blood type, everything. And that's the difference. We are human because we are intrinsically human, because we're made in the image of God. That's what separates us.
So Mark, one of the greatest weapons I think that you guys use, again, folks, Mark Harrington with createdequal.net, isn't it, Mark? Createdequal.org. .org is that they're using the same technique, Mark, that slave owners used, and that's that blacks are not people. And then Hitler used the exact same argument, didn't he? Jews are not people. So when you want to get rid of somebody, you just dehumanize them. And if you just dehumanize them, then it's okay to kill them. And that's the heart of what's going on. It's the same message, different group of people.
Exactly right. I mean, once you deny personhood, that is the right to life, then the slaughter begins. It's inevitable. We've seen it throughout history with all the different types of genocide that happened historically. And abortion simply just an extension of what's happened historically. So we can draw those parallels to what's happened in the past. You know, another thing about the civil rights movement, which we get a lot of our motivation from, is, you know, Dr. King wrote in the letter from the Birmingham jail, that his whole strategy was to bother people, to get them to think. He called it creative tension. And although we're not, you know, I don't want to compare ourselves to the civil rights movement, because we don't deserve to be compared to it, be honest, with all that they sacrificed compared to what pro-lifers do these days. But the idea that we got to be willing to take a little bit of criticism, a little persecution, it's a little bit of pain in order to make the case and to bother people. And we want to bother them to get them to think differently. And right now, the pro-life movement isn't bothering enough folks. We're being ignored for the most part. And, you know, that obviously, if you're ignored, nobody pays attention to you, and it just continues on and on and on.
So, Mark, I hear from pastors, you know, since I've been in the pro-life movement as well, not like you, but we hear from pastors that, well, we don't really want to talk about it because there are abortion-injured women. sitting in the pews, women who years ago had an abortion. And if we begin to talk about that, it's just going to bring up bad memories and hard feelings. And maybe they were raped and maybe they were forced to get the abortion by their parents. And we just don't really want to go there because Jesus is about love and we want people to feel loved and valued. How do you, that's pretty true in the market. How do you answer that?
Yeah, well, my good friend, Mike Spencer, who is a former pastor, told me the reason why pastors don't preach on abortion is because they think abortion's not that bad or the gospel's not that good. And I think that's the truth. Abortion's not that bad, meaning we really don't think it's as bad as what people say. And the gospel's not that good. In other words, women and men that have been involved in abortion, the gospel can't apply to them. And so what happens? They sit in the pew their entire lives in shame and guilt on abortion because the pastor never mentions it. And they think it's the unforgivable sin. It's unhealed. And they live that way the rest of their lives. The pastors are doing them no good by ignoring this. It needs to be brought out in the open so folks that have been involved can come to the healing power of Jesus Christ. And that's why they listen. The pastors just don't want to deal with these people. They don't want them coming to them and say, hey, you know, I had an abortion, pastor. What do I do? They're like, you know, so I'm not going to mention it at all. And the bodies just continue to pile up.
And the churches are full of post-abortive women who've never really been able to deal with the issue. Right?
Yeah, that's because the pastor doesn't bring it up. They think, well, I guess I have to live in silence and darkness over this.
It's not the unforgivable sin, certainly not the unforgivable sin.
Of course not.
And women need to be delivered from it. So, Mark, if you could real quick, or Spencer, I'm going to open it up here in a second. Cue up one of the on-the-street discussions. Remember, folks, look, this isn't about Mark Harrington, although he's a master on the street. He's heard every argument that you could have ever heard. Every argument you could have ever heard, and he trains young people to counter the argument. Because at the bottom of the argument, at the end of the day, the argument to kill your unborn child is empty. There is no argument there. And as you begin to make them deal with the question that you're asking, why, folks, in what species of animal, which is what they want to say we are, we've evolved, does the mother not defend its baby? They'll pick up some, they'll say, oh, that a raccoons, they don't know. They're like, as if we're a raccoon. But every species in the world, the mother defends the child. They lay down their life. The Bible says greater love has no man than this, than a woman or a man would lay down his life for his friends. Is your baby not even your friend? And then what we have is what? Post-abortion trauma and grief. Right?
Amen. You know, you should play one of the clips that went up today. And by the way, if folks want to follow me, they can go to my Instagram or Facebook or our X page. You know, we've got like, I don't know, 75,000 followers now. It's been amazing. But the one today where there's a young lady who I met at the University of South Florida, she came out and started mocking our team because they were young. Oh, these are just kids. And I reminded her, well, how old are you? And she goes, I'm 21. I said, these kids are, they're 4 years younger than you are. Okay. And then we're going to make this about age. That's how it started out. But today's clip, I think it is where, I talked to her about whether they're, what species they are. Because I wanted her to admit that abortion is not good. She kept saying, oh, access to abortion. Go ahead and play the clip for a little bit, and you'll see what I'm saying.
Modern medicine is that nothing is 100%, you know, soundproof. Nothing is 100% guaranteed. But the beauty of it is that it allows us to do so many things that we once weren't able to. And so if you
let me ask you, how are things going? I mean, look.
Do that. And yes, you're consenting to the possibility of getting pregnant, and then that's something that you deal with.
So let me ask you this: do you think abortion's a good outcome?
What do you mean by
outcome? Well, I mean, is it a moral good?
A moral good.
Yeah, would you say it's good? It's good, and it's not a moral. Leave moral out. Do you think it's good? A good outcome?
I think that,
or would a better outcome be remain
to be able to access to be able to have access to abortion is good. In my mind, yes.
But that abortion itself.
Abortion itself.
Access, one thing, abortion itself.
Access to abortion is the same as abortion. You're talking about the act of abortion, and I'm...
Right. Would you say that's good?
I think it's good to have access to abortion.
But, I mean, you know what abortion is. It's, there's no mystery, right? These pictures...
I think that, yeah, being able to get rid of something that you grew in your tummy, if you didn't mean to grow it in your tummy or you didn't want to, or you made a mistake, or, God forbid, you were raped, I think that, yes, abortion is good. It's a good thing
okay.
that we have available.
It's not a... Do you think it's a something... It's a something, or is it a human?
I love it. Stumped.
I mean, it's not a...
It's a something.
Completely stumped. She knows that she says it's human, that she's got a problem.
Right, right.
And as long as they can get that baby far away and it's a something, it doesn't, you know, whatever, they can call it reproductive health care, access to abortion, whatever. But once that baby comes into a focus, boom, it just like... They can't continue on with the argument. And so, you know, we're surrounded by abortion photos. And the truth is, Dave, you know this. They know what abortion is. Intuitively, we know. We don't even have to see the pictures. We know it's killing. They do. They know it. They just don't want to admit it to anybody. Right? Mm. It's denial sustained by darkness that they're living in this denial. They know intuitively that it's killing a baby. They just want to go. They can't go there because if they do, their arguments fall apart.
Okay, so Mark, you got a lot of people when you're out on the streets, because I've been with you, know what it is, and they say, Mark, well, I really appreciate what you do and your willingness to try to rescue the unborn. I really do, but Mark, do you have to use those pictures? Mark, do you have to use those pictures?
Yeah, the answer is yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Everywhere, all the time, in my opinion. There isn't a place where I wouldn't, well, I would show some discretion, I guess. I wouldn't go in front of a daycare or, you know, elementary school or what have you. But you got to use them. You got, even if you have a, you know, a pamphlet or something, you got to bring it out. Because like I say, you know, I think I can argue abortion pretty well, but I don't think my arguments are strong enough on their own. Honestly, you need the visual aid, because otherwise people just don't think it's, you know, abortion's a euphemism to them. It doesn't mean anything. And the babies are pushed away from their minds. It has to be front and center. You saw her stump for a minute. Just when I said, well, what is it then? What is it? If it's human, and it's like, oh, see, it just shifts the whole debate. So they have to be used. Now people say, oh, you know, you anger some people and it drives them away. Okay, fine. But those are the people that aren't persuadable anyway. They don't have a functioning conscience anyway. If they're going to look at a picture and just blow it off of a baby that's just been dismembered, then they're not the ones I'm supposed to be talking to anyway. All right?
So, Mark,
it wouldn't matter if I showed them an abortion photo or I just mentioned the word. They're going to walk by on the other side.
So, Mark, we know this, that the double-mindedness in our legal system, we understand that if a pregnant woman is driving a car down the road and somebody runs a red light and kills the fetus inside of her, it's a crime. They're charged with vehicular homicide, whatever it might be. They don't get off scot-free for just having their own choice. They chose to kill somebody else's baby, right? But Mark, they can't make the... If killing a baby that's not mine is wrong, how can killing a baby that is mine be okay? How does that logic work?
It doesn't. It's called schizophrenia, basically. That's what it is. So you're right. Exactly. A baby. Now, she was on her way to the abortion clinic and it happened. It'd be fine. Right. It's all about wantedness. Wanted babies are protected, unwanted ones aren't. We know the humanity, there's no difference between the two, but that's how our culture deals with abortion.
Mark, if I could real quickly, a buddy of mine, Dr. Paul Goslin up in Maine, an actual real doctor. Dr. Paul, for those of us, those out there who think that we're biased and we're unkind or whatever. Hey, Dr. Paul, is there ever a reason to kill a baby to save the life of a mother? In your experience, Paul?
Well, it's an interesting point, right? So I think somebody came up with a pregnancy, a tubal pregnancy, right?
Yeah.
And what happens there is the baby grows in the tube, and then it ruptures, and you get, you go into shock is basically what it happens. But here's the deal. There's always been babies that still births. There's always been natural law. There's always been babies that don't make it for whatever reason, right? But we're at, and many of them, you know, if you're going to drink, they're not going to make it, right? If you're going to put drugs in your system, they're not going to make it. But it's natural. We're overriding natural law, and we're trying to conflate abortion, which, by the way, in medical school, big guy, I'll tell you what. The way they do it is they teach you a course in embryology, right? And you're looking at this, right? And then one day in my medical school, they say we're going to spend a whole day on abortion. Well, I'm Catholic. I told them go pound sand, right? But the way they do it in medical school is you are water hosed with information. And all of a sudden you slide in embryology and you're thinking embryo, embryo, embryo. Then a whole day wasted on abortion. And of course, I was the only one that didn't go. And of course, I got singled out and they started sending me to different clinics and stuff so I would see abortion. I'll tell you what, I was angrier than a thing. But I put a lot of effort into med school. But I'll tell you what abortion really is. It's a spiritual demon, my friend. My sister, young sister, I have a sister who's about a year younger than me. She had an abortion. And I watched her about 6 years ago be, I think she had a demon in her. And it was right in front of me. And she was having a hard time. She was driving away. And the next thing you know, she gets in her car and she goes about 65 miles an hour into the back of a truck and tries to kill herself. And it was Satan talking. And it was all because of the abortion. And she told me this. And once she was past that and forgave herself, her life has changed dramatically. Okay, but I mean, she's all scarred up. She's broken like you cannot believe. But it saved her life. It saved her life in the future. But that's how they do it in med school. That's how they do it. They just inundate you with information and they slide this in as if it's healthcare. And if you balk, I mean, you have a chance of being kicked out. But, you know, kick me out. Go ahead. But that's how they do it, big guy.
So Mark, in
99% of all abortions are not for the health of the mother or life. Health the only abortion that threatens the health or life of the mother is an ectopic pregnancy, generally.
Ectopic pregnancy,
and that can be done without killing babies. You don't have to kill the baby to save the life of the mother. Abortion is never necessary, ever.
Mark, in 1973, in the famous Roe versus Wade decision, U.S. Supreme Court decided, I believe it was 7-2, although I might be wrong, that somewhere within the Constitution, there was a right for a woman to kill her unborn child. Now, Dr. Paul, I don't mean to bring Dr. Paul back in here. Mark, the science that we had in 1973 compared to the science that we have today in 2026 is like driving a Model T Ford, right? And so when they did revisit abortion, the Supreme Court did revisit it. They said basically there is no constitutional right to abort a child. But yet, Mark, abortions still go on. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, we may have won politically in that we got three justices on the Supreme Court, Donald Trump nominated, who, you know, reversed Roe v. Wade and overturned it, which is awesome. Something we always wanted was it to return back to the states, because the word abortion doesn't appear in the Constitution. The right to privacy doesn't extend to someone killing their baby. And finally, the court recognized that. But since it's gone back to the states, we're losing terribly. We've had 17 constitutional amendments been put on the ballot since the overturning of Roe and the Dobbs decision. We've won three of those four and lost 14. And what does that tell you? The culture's not with us, Dave. We may have been winning politically in that we've been able to change the court, but we've been losing the culture all along. And now we're finding out because these votes are happening in states like Ohio, right? Issue one passed in 2023. And we, you know, since then we've been reeling here to try to figure out what we can do to put an end to this stuff. And so that's the problem. We've been losing culture. We might be winning politically in some cases, but we're losing the people.
Folks, I'd like to open it up here for you to jump in here and say, well, Coach, what would I say? I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Well, this is a good opportunity for you to be able to do it. Mark, let me ask this. You said you saw a picture of what drew you into this battle. And I remember the day, Mark, we go back quite a ways, you and I, when you drove the abortion trucks around Columbus, Ohio. Great big box trucks with pictures of aborted babies on the sides of them and on the rear of them.
Now we have video trucks, Dave. We've graduated. We got big box trucks with video screens of abortion on the side. So, got me doing it? Well, you know, as I said, it was the battle, but it was more importantly, I didn't want my children and grandchildren to grow up in a nation where we devalued human life to the extent that we would kill the children who cannot defend themselves. What kind of nation are we creating for my children and grandchildren? That was it. It was enough. Amen. That was enough.
And so they put them on. Bill, well, go ahead and play that, Spencer. You're already doing it. So we go ahead and now they have jumbotrons, folks, that Mark drives around with pictures of abortion.
Play
one of those, Spencer.
Well, we have a static jumbotron that we take to college campuses, and we have like this picture here. And then we have the mobile unit, which, you know, we take to big events like the D.C. America 250 and things like that. Big, you know, sporting events. We go to all the football games and concerts and everything else. So, you know, it's a little different in that you don't get the dialogue. You don't get unless you're on the sidewalk with them. But a picture's worth a thousand words, David. You know that. And a video, in my opinion, is worth a million words.
That's right. Play this video right here. The reaction of people, folks, after they saw the jumbotron, which is a video of abortion, aborted babies. And these are people on the street after they saw the jumbotron as to whether or not you think it's effective. Go ahead and play it.
Why are you marching today?
Well, I'm marching, of course, on behalf of all the babies you see here on the screen. This is why we're here. This, you know, it's a great march. There's great vibes. Everybody's happy to be here, which is great. But, you know, it's important to remember that, like, these babies are why we're here today.
To save these babies' lives and to tell people that it's murder. You know, it's murder, no matter what the age of the person.
When it comes down to the reality of what this issue is, it's that it's a human life.
These videos that you have here are showing the world this is the reality. This is what a baby looks like. It's taking the life of a human being that should be loved and cherished.
To be honest, I'm marching because my wife asked me to come with her, but I'm really glad I did. This is amazing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Well, you know, we go to the march every year. We get a lot of grief for it, Coach, as you know. You've been with us on that, I think. And it's because Christians come up and pro-lifers say, well, why are you here? We know what abortion is. And I'm like, well, you need reminded just like everybody else, because it's out of sight, out of mind. If you don't see those photos every once in a while, the videos, you forget about them. Now, I see them off almost every day, of course, but most Americans, most Christians, most pro-lifers even, I would dare say, don't get to actually view the victims enough to remind them about what's happening every single day. You were right. The body count is actually going up, Dave, after the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Unbelievable. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's where Mark got the title to the ministry, and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Inalienable means what? Cannot be taken away. Inalienable. You can't, like, a lien is like a loan. Somebody puts a lien against your house. You guys, you understand that, right? So the right to life, you can't put a lien against it. It's inalienable. Nobody can take that from you. And so the idea, the rights are unalienable, inalienable rights, and among them are life. And with that, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No life, then no liberty. You don't need liberty. And no life, no pursuit of happiness. It all hinges on life. And isn't it amazing? We call that a right, the right to life. Unbelievable. Dr. Paul, come on back in, then Laura Ann will get you in here.
So I honestly think the solution, and just so you know, that story when I was in med school was, that course was a mandatory course, the only one we had in med school. I had to take that in order to graduate, and I still told them to go pound sand. And the point I'm trying to make is that they shove it down your throat, guys. And the only way to get this to stop is to separate healthcare from this. You can create a whole new demonic, satanic profession that just kills babies, right? But the thing is, we need to call them out. We need to dox every single doc and every single hospital that does this crap. You know, I mean, if you look at the Megestrol, the pill, they don't report the side effects of that. They don't report the damage done to that, to the mothers or anything else. Okay, that they protect abortion like it needs to be protected from Satan himself. I'm just pointing that out. You want to get rid of it? You set me loose on these mothers. Excuse my language.
Hey, Mark, you had a sign I'll never forget when again, 25 years ago, one dead, one wounded. Folks, right? They call it a choice. One dead, the baby, and one wounded. The mother will never forget that, for sure. Laura Ann, come on in.
Good evening. Hi, Coach. Mark, I'm a post-abortive woman. I had an abortion when I was 23. And I've done a lot of speaking on this subject. And I just have a couple of points. I think, first of all, like what Dr. Paul just shared, right? There needs to be, you know, a black box warning, like with the methotrexate that's involved with that morning after pill and what's going to happen to your body, along with, and they won't do the study on ovarian cancer and breast cancer due to abortions, because your body doesn't have a natural miscarriage. You're doing and I'm sure Dr. Paul can back this up, because your body just does not, you know, just you don't stop the your milk production. It's abruptly done. It's not like what happens with a natural, like stillbirth or, you know, a miscarriage, right? And the other point that I'd like to make is, I think there needs to be, if they want to actually do this, you fight them with their own words. They want education, right? Well, there should be a mandatory education in high school to graduate, that you understand exactly what an abortion is, all stages of it, all side effects of it, and all the things that happen, like instrumental evacuation, which was a case with my child. You know, and I firmly state that, you know, we were lambs led to the slaughter in blue surgery gowns, and my womb became a tomb. And it may sound harsh, but it's exactly what happened. And the side effects mentally affect you for the rest of your life, which I think is the numbness to women being able to be mothers, to be able to parent their child. Because I know all the guilt that I had when, after I was 10 years later, I was put in the same situation. And, you know, my daughter's here as a testimony of life, you know, and I struggled with the whole, you know, being post-abortive and the forgiveness, especially through the second pregnancy and with my daughter. And it was horrible. And I was walking it alone. And, you know, and I think I didn't know, you know, and this is not an excuse, but I didn't know what the procedure was. And I didn't even think to ask, like, what is this procedure that they're going to be performing and what exactly happens? The doctor just told me that this baby was just like, you know, just a blob of tissue. And I'm thinking, you know, well, it's just kind of like a clot, like with my period, and there's like no pimple. Life to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a, it's like a clot. And, you know, and then when I, and then I still can hear the nurse next to me to my left as I was crying, counting. And I, you know, and I came to find out they had a count. I forgot the total number of, you know, pieces, but that's, you know, counting a head, a leg, you know, a torso, you know, yeah. feet, right? They have to count them. So it's one, it's a slow count as a doctor's dismembering your child.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and they don't know that heartbeat, you know, the heartbeat 10 days after, Amen. You know, you, after conception. They don't Amen. Know that, you know, it's none, that's all brushed over. And I think having to share those things and say, hey, if you're going to be doing this, this is what needs to happen. And then
informed consent, you know, they call that, right? Informed
right.
consent.
I mean, yeah. and, you
right.
know,
which
and then men, and, you know, and we chatted a little bit about this morning, you know, men, boys need to see what's going on because you're selling your child yep. to Satan on, you know, on the altar of Satan, all in the disguise of medical care. And it's not medical care. It's, no. it's the destruction of not just two lives, but three lives because Amen. There's a guy involved in it because he didn't get pregnant by yourself.
Okay. So Lorianne, let me jump in here a second, Lorianne, because I see that the comment was made by Nancy and it's a really, really good one. And Mark, the women's movement, the right to abortion movement, has made men unaccountable, hasn't it, Mark?
Because no, absolutely.
Because a woman can, a man can say, "Honey, it's your choice, it's your body, whatever you want to do, honey." And so the women have, in fact, done it to themselves by that argument. They let the guy off of the hook. Would you speak to that, Mark?
Well, I mean, I get that all the time because I'm a man. Although when they ask me, they'll say, "You're a man. You should have nothing to say about this." I'll say, "Are you sure I am?" You know, to start it out just as a joke kind of. But they say that men shouldn't have a say. And I'll remind them, well, men had a say when they lied down and had sex with the woman. So that's number one. Number two, if the man doesn't want her to... you know, to say does not want the baby, wants her to get an abortion and she chooses not to, guess what? He has to pay child support. So what about his choice? So,
right.
So it the matter is, Coach, you're right. It's not liberating to women. It enslaves women. Abortion enslaves women, and they've been sold this lie, and it's time for men to stand up, not cower, and say this is a women's issue, because it's not.
So Mark, if the man is responsible for paying for the child, then why doesn't he have the right to abort it? It's just as much his, evidently, by the law, is it not?
100%.
He's financially responsible for
the rest of his life. Betty. Only because she's, you know, she's carrying the baby.
The women's liberation movement has enslaved women, and they don't even know. They don't even know. Betty, come on in.
Yeah, I was going to say something about the men,
100%.
Too.
But also, Coach, I want to get something in here before we.
Go ahead, Mark. Or Betty, go ahead, Betty. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say with the advent. Okay. Sure.
I was just going to say, I was going to mention something about the men too, and also there is some men that are against it. There should be some kind of law that man has a right to say something instead of that woman going and killing that baby. And we do try to get out. Well, I do with a bunch of in Wheeling. I live in St. Clairsville. once a week with your signs. I'm the only one that has your sign. I have three of them. And I get more reaction from your sign than these other 10 people that have these little dinky signs. And I love the idea about the Jumbotron. I think that's just genius. I wish there was a 500,000 of them in every state, in every town. So I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Betty. Hey, Mark. Golly, we're almost out of time already. What if somebody wants to buy a sign? Do you guys sell signs, Mark? Where would they get them?
Yeah, we have a store. Just go to our website. It says shop. You can pick up the signs, and we'll ship them to you. You have to mount them. But other than that, I mean, we keep the prices really low on that. I wanted to share something real fast, and that is the abortion pill, Coach. 64% of all abortions are done by the abortion pill regimen. And that is up from 2005. You know how many? 5%. So now there is no abortion. There is no abortionist involved. There is none. The women are receiving these by mail. They go online and they order them and they ship them for them. They're aborting the children in their own homes, in their own bathrooms, the toilets, or the abortion clinic.
Wow.
And so the women are culpable more than ever before, because now they can't blame the abortionist or someone else. They're ordering them. They're killing the babies in their own homes. Crazy.
Mark, Lauren, come on, Lauren. We got about 3 minutes, Mark. Go ahead,
yeah,
Lauren.
Just real quick. Like, I still can't forget the cost of my abortion was $350.
Mm-hmm.
And the life of my child, and and the after effects when I wound up going home, and my boyfriend didn't even take me to the clinic and didn't even pick me up. He sent people to do that. And, and I curled up in the bottom of my shower because the water wasn't hot enough and I couldn't scrub myself clean. I needed my skin to bleed. And I curled up in the bottom and I said, all the bad things that are going to happen are to me, I know God, is because I can't be forgiven. And I killed my child. Mm. And, and I still can see it. I can still feel it. I can still see myself trying to scrub my skin to make it bleed.
Yeah.
But $350 for my child to die.
Amen.
The comment there by Nancy, that the sewers of our cities are running red with the blood of the unborn more than ever, because now the babies are being flushed down the toilet. Literally, they're in our water.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Trying to get the Trump administration, I don't know if you've been following this, but the REMS, they call them, the FDA put some restrictions on the abortion pill until Biden stripped them during COVID. And that's why they can mail them out nowadays. But there are actually some laws trying to be instituted to actually rein in, using the EPA, believe it or not, to stop this from happening. Because, like I say, the abortion pill and the babies are in our water, our drinking water. So it's so sickening. You can't imagine. So, we're going to keep fighting, Coach. We've got some good things happening. We're changing hearts and minds as much as we are able. We're saving lives. That's what we need to do. The grand scheme of thing, that's up to God. We need to repent. Our nation needs to get on its knees and beg God for forgiveness for this. Until that happens, nothing's going to really change dramatically enough to end the killing.
CreatedEqual.org. Is that right, Mark? CreatedEqual.org. Folks, there's all kinds of great videos on there, instruction videos, how to argue, how to make the debate. And maybe one of your children would love to get involved with one of these justice rides with other like-minded young adults going to put an end to abortion. Mark, final words?
God bless you, folks. Man, pray for us. Send your people to Washington, D.C. with us if you want. America 250, it's a great opportunity to reach hundreds of people, thousands of people in our nation's capital, and call people to the real reason why we're created equal, and that's because God said so. in his word. And that's why we are who we are. And that's why we care about our neighbors. That is the unborn.
Say, go donate, drop some money in there, Mark. They're doing great work. God bless you, Mark. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you down the road here at WCN TV.